How and why did you get inspired to get into stand-up?
Stand-up? Oh, well, I guess Lenny Bruce was I read a book called Ladies and Gentlemen, Lenny Bruce when I was way back in high school, and I found it kind of cool that there was a guy that just could, you know, go on stage and say what he felt and get laughs and you know, sort of what an important figure he was in the world. And I suppose I fell into it, but I once I did, I really enjoyed the opportunity to just, you know, have complete control over what the show was.
He fell into it, he fell in love with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's true, yeah.
That's how it happens. Where do you grab your inspiration from for your material?
Mostly my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a lot of things going on. I've battled a few life-threatening things, cancer mm-hmm. and addiction. I have a daughter. You know, I'm kind of a political guy. I'm involved with all sorts of things, whether it be, you know, the slam poetry and the kind of activism that sort of draws from. And just, you know, caring. You know, I'm kind of like interested in what's going on. I always felt like championing, you know, the underdog. And so stand up and, you know, that whole idea that you can rage against the machine was something that really turned me on.
Nice. I'm glad you mentioned addiction. How did you overcome addiction and when?
Well, I'm into my ninth year of recovery from alcoholism and drug addiction. My main drug of choice, besides tobacco, which I've also stopped consuming, was alcohol. And that led to, you know, various other things. You know, and in the world of stand-up lends itself to that sort of thing. But mm-hmm. on the other hand, there's addiction in every field. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't really apply. I did end up hitting bottom and, you know, going through a really rough patch where I was, you know, living in my car and completely psychotic, running away from a gang that didn't exist. And those are the scariest gangs of all because they're everywhere. And, you know, so I ended up having to go to rehab and into treatment out in Abbotsford, a place called King Haven. And since then, I maintain my sobriety by, you know, actively involved in one of the 12-step fellowships that's going on all the time.
How has it affected your routine or your stand-up or your daily life?
Well, you know, like the show that I'm doing now is the opportunity to help and to give back. You know, stand-up itself was a form of addiction for me. Mm-hmm. And the expectation, like, where's my, you know, HBO special? Where's, you know, why am I, you know, the sense of entitlement and the deserving that I should, you know, get, you know, things because I'm funny. Mm-hmm. And that was... that was treacherous and took me to a very dark place. Mm-hmm. So now I view my work as a sort of a growth from my recovery. Mm-hmm. I don't constantly talk about recovery, but I do see what I do as an opportunity to help people, whether it be, you know, even from, you know, playing clubs and saying some kind of edgy stuff. I still see that as an opportunity to reach out to people and have them see that, you know, that you can do what you want to do and you don't have to be loaded to do it, you know. Exactly. So that's, I would say, how it affects it mostly.
Mm-hmm. The industry, film, stand-up, all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Music, it all goes hand-in-hand with partying and with addiction and,
sure does.
And all that stuff. So... And right now there's a campaign that just started. It's called Call Time Mental Health.
Right.
And all the different unions are involved.
Yeah,
and,
I saw that. Yeah, yeah. I got an email about that.
Do you have any advice for someone that's going through a hard time? How should I word that? Do you have any advice for like any performer that needs help? Or I know a lot of performers, they incorporate that into their act.
Sure.
But how do you kind of separate yourself?
You know, I view addiction as a disease, and so people think you're being a jerk, right? Like, you know, if someone has, you know, cancer or diabetes, you wouldn't go like, stop having cancer, or you know, get your pancreas in order. Mm-hmm. But because of addiction, you know, the symptoms of it showing you, like, whatever, not showing up or crashing your car or just being not dependable person. Mm-hmm. We think it's ethical, you know, like that we're bad people. We're not bad people, we're sick people. Mm-hmm. And the key is to be able to ask for help and to take that help.
Exactly.
That's the big difference. You know, lots of people can say, you're like, help me. And then you go, okay. And they go, no, I don't want that. Or, you know, like, help me, but help me this way.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, like I said, you can't do it on your own. There's very little evidence to support that people can recover from addiction on their own. Mm-hmm. And so reach out to people that, you know, have the same disease as you, and then, you know, listen to what they say and do it.